From the Tie Cats Audio Network, this is Tie Cats Today with Braden Neville.
On today's episode, Jordan Williams joins the show to discuss gearing up for training camp, his Canadian roots, his remarkable draft story, and more. And the Grey Cup and Grey Cup Festival earn a prestigious award. It's Tuesday, March 26, 2024, and this is Tie Cats Today. Jordan Williams was the first big signing for the Tie Cats this offseason. It was kind of the spark that lit the fire, if you will, on this year's free agency. And he's got a super interesting story, going from not playing the year before in 2020 to becoming the 2020 number one overall pick in the CFL draft, and then the 2021 most outstanding rookie. And he joins me now. Jordan, when we last spoke, you had just signed with the Tie Cats. How has the rest of the offseason been going for you so far, man?
It's been going good. I've been staying consistent, training with some of my future teammates and some of my past teammates down in Florida. So it's been going pretty good.
And where you're spending the offseason in Florida?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm staying over in Tampa area.
Okay.
I trained over in St. Pete's.
It's beautiful up there, man. How are you liking the weather in Florida right now?
I know it's a lot warmer than Canada as of right now, so I'm loving it.
We're hoping it heats up a little bit here so we can start getting some of these guys to come back over the border. I want to talk about some of the moves that happened after you signed with the Tie Cats, and that's a bunch of your ex-teammates, well, still teammates from the Argos coming over here to Hamilton. You got guys like Peters, Barlow, Hendricks. What were you thinking when you were seeing all these signings happening?
It's going to be a new takeover down in Hamilton. We got a lot of guys that are high-quality guys in the CFL that are a little bit underrated. But not towards the Hamilton staff. The Hamilton staff knows their worth. They know how good they are, and they got paid like it.
Whenever you see a guy like Brandon Barlow, what's your scouting report, if you will, on him? What can you say about him coming over here?
Pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. He gets quarterback, and that's what makes the big bucks in this league. So he does a great job at that, pass rushing. And I feel like on defense, the highest paid guys are the guys that could get to the quarterback, and he does that very well.
And then Dwayne Hendricks, another guy on that D-line coming over. What can you say about him?
He's a fantastic, versatile player, so he goes both ways. So he does the pass rushing, and then he also does run stopping. So he's a force in the middle of that defense that you always got to account for, and he's a difference maker.
And then a guy behind you now, Jamal Peters. I mean, a lot that can be said about him, a dog, a guy who has already been embracing this Tie Cats culture. But what can you say about him?
Like you said before, he's a dog. He does everything well. I don't know if you've seen him in person yet, but he looks like a linebacker in corner. And he runs like a corner. So he's a fantastic player, and he'll do great things for the Hamilton defense.
During this process, are you talking to these guys at all? Like, was there conversations before free agency, maybe even?
A little bit with Dwayne Hendricks. We talked about free agency and things of that nature. This is before the Hamilton, they acquired him, but I haven't really talked to those guys yet. No, they're doing their own things in the offseason. I know we call him Wayno. Dwayne Hendricks is looking for an apartment and looking for a places to stay, and we talked about that.
Okay.
Other than that, we haven't talked about football aspect.
How's his apartment search coming? How's that going for him?
I'm not too sure yet, but I know it's a lot cheaper than living an hour north.
Yeah. What about yourself? Are you getting situated? Are you still kind of working on the logistics of all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I haven't got situated yet. Still working on the logistics, so we'll see.
I want to get into your roots, your Canadian roots, and you being a national player, but where does your Canadian roots come from?
Yes, my mother was born in Canada, in Ontario, to be specific.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I received citizenship when I was born in the States.
Okay, that's cool. So your mother lived, you said it was Toronto?
Yes, she lives in Toronto, yeah.
And she was an athlete herself, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, she played basketball, collegiate basketball. I'm not too familiar
with
what she did. I need to ask her that, but she did, though.
And growing up, you grew up in a military family, so you were constantly moving around. What was that like for you, especially during those high school years playing football, to be playing in all these different cities across the states and all over?
Yeah, it was definitely crazy. It seemed like every new school I moved to, I moved to a different position. I played defensive end. I played running back. I played linebacker. I played a multitude of positions, so it was kind of I don't know. You could look at it two ways. It's like nerve-wracking to meet new people,
Yeah.
or it could be exciting to have a, clean slate, meet new people, and get acquired to learn how to communicate with people that you don't know. So it's awesome.
Did you almost feel like every time you moved and you went to a different program that you had to prove yourself all over again to when you were playing?
Absolutely. I feel like I walk in those places and they like, who's this cocky guy? Just not by my speech or things of that nature, because I'm a normal, shy, quiet person, but the way I walk around, they're like, oh, he thinks he's all that. And I get to prove it to him on the field, and he's like, okay, he's pretty good. So, yeah, absolutely.
How many places did you move to? Can you remember all the different places you've lived already?
Specifically, none. The number count, no, but I lived in Florida. I lived in Baltimore, Maryland, New
Wow.
York, New Jersey, a multitude of places, Hawaii. List keeps going.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy because I
South
actually
Carolina. South Carolina. Go
all the
ahead.
Carolinas we got pretty much every state represented here. In my case it's kind of similar but different. I grew up in a military town, but my family wasn't military, so all my friends would leave me every year. So it's kind of like the opposite end of that. Do you feel as though you moving around has kind of helped you get adjusted to those new environments now in your professional career?
Absolutely, because there's some people that live in their hometown, they live in their hood for maybe 15 years, and they're accustomed to seeing the same people, seeing the same stores, seeing the same family members. And once they leave them, they get real homesick and they turn to things that are not so conducive for you as a professional athlete. But for me, I'm always moving constantly every 1 or 2 years. So I get used to things that stuff like that. So it helps a lot.
Are you hoping that now you may have found your home for a while in Hamilton? You're looking to maybe stop the moving for a bit here and find a place here with the Ticats?
Absolutely. Everybody that plays in this professional football, they don't like, moving around every 1 to 2 years. It's not very, I don't know how to say it. Like, let's say you want to start a family. You don't want to keep hopping around from East Coast to West Coast to West Coast to East Coast. They do want to find a home. Three teams in 3 years is kind of like, come on, what's going on? But we'll see.
Well, I want to go back in time a little bit here. We just had the draft combine. So your draft experience was pretty crazy from going to not playing the year before to being drafted number one overall in the CFL draft. But what was that whole year and that process of getting involved with the CFL and becoming a number one overall pick from not playing? What was that whole process like for you throughout that year?
It was crazy because finding out I was Canadian in Ottawa, that's when I went to one of those rookie free agent camps I got invited to. I came in as American and I left as a Canadian, basically. When I found out, since my mother was born in Canada, I could be counted as a national. So I went and contacted my agent, Christian, and I told him about the situation, and he got me prepared with places to train. And he told me, like, this is going to be my one shot. If I want to play in this league, I'm going to have to be in the best shape possible because I'm out of football for a year. So I did that, went and trained hard, like hard. That's the hardest I trained in my life. I went to the combine and I put up some astronomical numbers. And then it was smooth sailing from there.
I'm looking at your numbers right now. I have them in front of me. A 4.48 40-yard dash, that was the best. 10 foot, eight and a half inch broad jump, that was the best. You were basically dominating in every category and doing it as a linebacker. But what was it about the combine where it seemed like you just popped off? You were basically all over number one in most categories.
What was it about? It's like my agents, it's all or nothing. Like, you can't just go in there and be like, okay, I'm gonna play it safe. Everything I was doing at the combine was like full throttle jumping the gun. Like, if I ran the 40, they call it elbows and hamstrings. I'm going hard. I don't care if I pull any muscle. I'm going 1,000% on the vert. I'm going hard. I don't care if I land funny. I'm going a full 1,000% because if I scratch on the event, who cares? I'm still like, when I entered that combine, I was like the 50th name on there, or maybe 40th. I was all the way down at the bottom. It was like they forgot about it. So I was like, look, I got to make my name known at this combine. So that's what I did.
Was there a point in the combine where you started to hear the whispers of people mentioning your name a little bit more than they were at the beginning when you were that 50th name on the list?
Absolutely. So I think after my 40-yard dash, I seen a 6'3", 200, he thought 220 now.
Mm-hmm.
Scruffy guy with a beard come up to me. And you probably know what this is. He was like, you look a lot faster than you did on film. And this is, and I'll tell you who this guy is now. It was Mike O'Shea.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He hit me up and down. I'm like, So, yeah, that's the first encounter I had with a CFL coach. So that was cool.
And funny enough, a year later, after that COVID season in 2021, you become the rookie of the year. You have the most tackles for a rookie by a Canadian rookie. And just so happens to be Mike O'Shea's record you break that year, right?
Yeah, I didn't even really put two and two together like that. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
so the record was 75 with Mike O'Shea. You smashed it at 97, but I got to get into that year. Once you finally, you were draft. Actually, let's not skip past being drafted first overall. What was that like, getting drafted first overall?
It was awesome because that's a testament to my hard work. And there's a lot of guys in that draft that you see that are really, really good in the CFL.
Yeah.
That are still perennial all-stars. Even guys like Nathan Rourke, you know, who's playing down south of the border, that were in that 2020 draft. So it was amazing. And it was very eye-opening of what you could achieve when you put your mind to doing things of that next stuff like that.
Was there a point where you kind of had an idea you'd go number one overall, or was it a surprise?
They spilled the beans. Justin Dunk called me and told me.
Of course. Of course.
And then that's how I knew. I was like, okay. So I kind of expected it.
Wouldn't be the first thing time Justin Dunk has known the info before some of the other players or coaches have. But I want to talk now about that season. 97 tackles, a huge year. What was it about adjusting to the Canadian game that seemed so seamless for you?
The adjustment that year was just to run and hit. You know, coaches said you're not going to be acclimated to the CFL game because it's a lot different than down south of the border. So all I could ask you to do as a starter in his first year in the CFL is just to run and run and run and run. And that's what RP said. That's what the head coach said. And then that's what we did. We just ran at the football as hard as I can every play. And I ended up making a lot of plays off of that.
Did you feel the confidence building as the season went on?
Yeah, absolutely. The confidence did start growing. And I also had like a running mate, Bola Kumbo, who helped me out as well. He was going crazy.
Yeah.
He had like a whole bunch of sacks and interceptions that year all as well. And he won Most Outstanding Canadian. So he helped me as well.
And I mean, whenever you broke that record for national tackles, for defensive tackles, it was Mike O'Shea's record. His was 75. When you broke that record, were you even aware that you were that close to breaking a record? Was that something you were chasing throughout that year?
I wasn't even chasing that. I was just playing my game.
Yeah.
Really, I was battling Darnell Stanky because we were going back and forth. But maybe 3 days later, Matt Baker, the media guy over for the BC Lions, he does a terrific job. He told me about it like 2 days later. I was like, oh, for real? He said, yeah, congratulations.
That's crazy.
It was just out of nowhere. So it was an honor to beat that record. And it just came out of nowhere. I didn't know that I beat the record till like 2 days after that.
That's crazy. Oh, so was it against Hamilton that the record happened?
Yeah, it was a tackle against Speedy Banks.
Speedy Banks. That's a pretty good way to break the record. One of the best tie cats of all time. Not a big deal. But what were you doing during that 2020 COVID time? Like when you got drafted and then COVID happens, what was going on for that? Like where were you training? What was going on for you?
I was training at the University of Louisville. With my guy, Chuck, he played at Louisville as well. So a lot of NFL players came back and helped us with our 40s, helped us with coverage, even open field tackling. And then also I had to get money, so I had work. And
yeah,
that's what I did during that 2020 season.
Yeah, that was a crazy year for everyone, especially being a guy who just got drafted. Not to mention you hadn't played that season before the draft, so now here COVID happens. I could see that messing everything up, but clearly it didn't because you came into the league, you made an impact. I want to fast forward now to you being a Hamilton Tiger Cat. What kind of impact are you hoping to make on this defense for next season?
To be a leader, you know, not only lead vocally, but lead by example. Try to rank up as a run stopper, on the Hamilton defense, you know, be top three at least, you know, create turnovers, wreak havoc, and give our offense the ball back.
Have you been talking to any guys on the team? Has anyone reached out to you since you've signed?
Yeah, I played with a guy named Kevin Thompson.
Okay.
And he's a quarterback now. Yep. He's on Hamilton's roster, and we talk every other day. So, yeah.
Have you played with Kevin? Like, do you train with him at all?
No, he's all the way in the West Coast, so we just keep in contact. And, yeah.
What's the relationship there?
What, me and Kevin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, Kevin, he went south of the border to try out another league.
Okay.
We're like roommates over in BC.
Yep.
So we give each other financial advice when it comes to stocks and things of that nature. So that's how we kept in contact, you know. And then he just ended up signing to Hamilton, and he hit me up. He told me like a week before it got announced that he signed to Hamilton. So it was awesome.
It's pretty crazy how the football world sometimes can come full circle, right? Like you could be playing with a guy in college, and the next thing you know, you're playing in Canada together.
Absolutely. It's crazy.
This year, there's a lot of hype around this defense because it's got a lot younger. It seems like it's gotten a lot faster, and a lot of different pieces have been added. But when you look at this defense as a whole, do you see it as one that can compete with any offense in this league and really wreak havoc?
Absolutely. You know, once you could get to the quarterback and you could throw his timing off, you throw the game off. With the CFL, it's a lot different than other leagues. You affect the quarterback and you create turnovers. And off of that, you can make them one-dimensional. You can make them want to run the ball on second and eight, you know, and punt the ball. So, yeah, so that's very effective how we went and acquired those guys in the offseason for pass rush. And not only that, Jamal Peters in the back end is going to be awesome.
He's dangerous. He's dangerous. Not to mention a couple other guys on that secondary. You got Stavros Katsantonis, Rich Leonard. I mean, there's a lot of things about this defense you can get excited about. Who excites you the most to play with? Not necessarily a guy you've played with before, but when you look at this team, who excites you that you get the chance to be on his side?
Joel Figueroa.
Okay.
He excites me the most. He's a big dude.
Yep.
He's a big bear. And he gets a hold of you, you're going to be on your back. Pancake.
And you would have played with him out in BC, correct?
Absolutely. I played with Fig, and Big Fig in BC, and he's a great human being, but he's a nasty dude on the field.
Do you have any Fig stories that you'd like to share? Any that you're allowed to share on the show?
It's R-rated, so I can't really. You know what I'm saying?
I want to talk to you. There's a big game on July 20th, I believe. It's against the former team. Is that one that's marked on the calendar for you?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Ain't no animosity.
Of course.
You got to look at every game like it's a regular game. Because when you start doing that, you start doing stuff out of character. And then that's when you play your worst game ever. So, no.
A great mindset to have. Training camp's approaching here. What are you doing training-wise to ramp up as we gear up for training camp?
Yeah, I'm training with my guy, Osama. Mm-hmm. He's the head and strength conditioning coach of Toronto Argos. He came down to Florida, and we did some things over at OTAs in St. Pete, and it was awesome. So that's things that we're doing in all season. I'm still training in Florida and staying in shape, working on coverage, working on being fast and ready to hit something.
Jordan, on your downtime, what are you doing? What do you like to do for fun when you're just kicking back?
Well, I don't really do too much. I don't play video games.
Yep.
I don't, you know, sit on social media all day. I'm a real simple guy, so my free time, I sleep.
You sleep? You're just relaxing?
Yeah.
I guess with so much football and training, it's kind of hard to have much time, especially now, right? Like as you're kicking up and getting ready for this next year.
Absolutely.
And one more question before we go, Jordan. It was a pleasure having you on the show, but what's the goal for this team next year? What do you think this team can be able to accomplish for 2024?
The goal every year is to win a championship. And I feel like if you're short of a championship, it feels like a failure of the season. Because when you're in that locker room, let's say you get booted out the first round, you feel like a failure. Let's say you make it all the way to the championship game and you lose, you feel even more of a failure. So if you're not getting a championship, it feels like it's a failure of the year. And that's what you should be aiming for day one. So that's what I did.
Jordan, I appreciate you joining me, man. I'll leave it at that. I can't wait to get to reconnect with you at training camp. We're getting closer and closer, man. So once again, Jordan Williams, thanks for joining the show today, man.
Thanks for having me.
That was Jordan Williams. We have some big news before we go. The 110th Grey Cup and the 2023 Grey Cup Festival have been honored with Sport Tourism Canada's prestigious award for Canadian Event of the Year with a budget greater than $1 million. A big feat. STC's prestigious awards annually recognize exceptional sport tourism initiatives, multi-sport games and events, and shine a spotlight on the people and places behind those initiatives. So multi-sport games and events that make the Canadian sport tourism industry so dynamic and diverse are awarded. And this is a big one. So big congratulations to all those that were involved in making the Grey Cup and Grey Cup Festival such a massive success. That's all the time for me today. I want to thank you for listening to Ticats Today.